on digital radio, on the app, on your smartphone, on X, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sportscast, football in general.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
The Sportscast, February 16th, 2026, post-Valentine's. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all your channels, YouTube, Facebook, X, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we will please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can visit our website, thesportscast.net. Also, follow us on X and Instagram at the Sportscast One, and check out our app, the Sportscast for iOS. The NBA All-Star Weekend was great. Ooh. No, good. It was not great. It was good. But when I say this, the NBA season begins after the All-Star break or during the All-Star break. And join us all the way from West Palm, who missed his Super Bowl reaction, Brett Blair. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Pleasure, Santiago. Pleasure as always, my friend. How are you?
Good, Brett. So I haven't got your Super Bowl reaction, but tell me, was this the worst Super Bowl you've ever seen?
It was poor. It truly was poor. I told you guys 31-17, like going in. I don't know why anybody was surprised. They are a better team at every level, and we kept saying that over and over again. They're just a better team at every level, and you know, New England didn't know how to handle it. They got smacked in the face, and then they didn't know how to handle it. Like, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. That's Mike Tyson. That's not me. So. And that's what happened. They got hit. They got hit hard, and they didn't have the talent, or you know, just overall willpower to
or the stamina to go against the Seahawks.
There you go. Either or, and my friend, either or.
Best defense you've seen in a Super Bowl?
Seattle Seahawks? No, I saw the Bears 4-6 defense in a Super Bowl. I saw the Giants, the teams of the late 80s and the early 90s. Those defenses. This is a really, really, really good defense, but to try to throw them in the mix with them, I mean, there's a few even before that, like, you know, with Dallas's doomsday, the Steel Curtain. Like, there was some really, really good defenses. I apologize, Ray Lewis fans. The Baltimore Ravens defenses with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. Like, yeah, those. But this was a damn good defense with just a damn good offense. Kenneth Walker. We knew what he could bring in coming in. Charbonnet being out actually helped him. Like, they lost their big back, Charbonnet, yeah, which was their, you know, inside the 10, inside the 5 guy. But Kenneth Walker turned out. Congratulations to him. First running back in a long, 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 long time.
It was 1993, yeah, I think.
Way back.
Unbelievable. So, well, there you have it. To
Carl Northern, Lord Nord. Congratulations, my friend. He's the probably the oldest and strongest diehard Seahawk fan I know to this day. So I just wanted to give him a shout on that. Yeah, Ravens, you're right, my friend. You're right. For me to even not put him in that group was wrong with me. So I apologize. Yes, that Ravens defense is right up there at the top.
You prefer the Joe Flacco Ravens defense or the Trent Dilfer Ravens defense?
I mean, the main components are the same, you know, with obviously Reed and Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. But I don't know, maybe the one, yeah, you got to go with what Siragusa at defensive tackle. You got to go with the old school, and that's just me, you know,
stopping the run game. That was like their main strategy.
Yeah. And Ramondre Stevenson had no answer, whether it's in the run game, whether it's the passing game. They had no answer, and they were overwhelmed from the very, very beginning of the game. And I it sucks because, like, it pains me. I don't know. I mean, I'm getting old. I have a lot of pains anyway. But I don't know if it's because football season is gone, but it pains me. And to go out on a note where we have to settle for a game like that. But the funniest thing was everybody just telling me how New England still has this chance now, this, that, and the other. And that was amusing. And I even started, you know, listening and thinking like, wait, do these guys know something that I don't know? And then I remembered, no, they don't know anything that I don't know. And so I was correct. I was pretty damn close at 31-17, but I gave you as the score too.
Only one touchdown for the Patriots, but hey, we'll see what happens. Two good futures for these both of these teams. And now the NFL offseason begins this past week. The franchise tagging begins tomorrow. But the Dolphins are starting to clean house, Brett. They released veteran wide receiver Tyreek Hill after 4 years with the club. Moving on from Hill will save the Dolphins $20.8 million against the salary cap. Hill, who turns 32 on March 1st, recovering from a serious knee injury that included a torn ACL. The star wideout timeout, the timeline to return to the field isn't clear. But now with a new coach, new GM, was this a need they need to get rid of Tyreek and start afresh?
Well, I mean, him and I know you're going to mention Bradley Chubb are packaged together. They're first of all, neither of them will have a problem finding work this next season. Both of them will be on an NFL roster. If Tyreek, and I didn't realize his knee. I thought it was the broken leg. I thought it was the he had literally broken the leg. But and I know
Bradley Chubb has located his knee, but also had a torn ACL. Okay. Which is pretty bad. Either way.
Yeah, I mean, but if he can be the Tyreek Hill and come back, and obviously medicinally and from that standpoint, what we can do these days as compared to like old Tommy John surgery, like what they can now accomplish, and he is a fighter. If he works for it and wants it, Tyreek Hill will be back. He's that elite a performer. If he doesn't want it bad enough, and he doesn't at his age right now, is that that age that some think, you know what, I have to prove myself and come back and show the NFL and myself that I still have it, that I could, right, exactly, show you're correct, show the world that I'm still the man, I'm still the cheetah, I can still get it done. Until I really start seeing him, like, going through his, his rehab and see how hard he's taking it and then how serious it is, if he looks in any way, shape, or form, like he will be able to be on a field next year. He will be signed. There'll be
even with an 80% Tyreek Hill, I'll take him.
Correct. Because you can imagine him as like your number three. Like, okay, Tyreek Hill, 80% Tyreek Hill. He's my number three. He's the one mixing everybody up in the middle.
And how many teams need wide receivers? The Patriots, the Bills, the Chiefs. Can you see him going back to the Chiefs?
Yeah, can you now set the tone for this? Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, reconnection.
Reunion.
In Kansas
City.
Where
they get along.
Both coming off major injuries.
Eric Bieniemy coming rehab. Back, offensive coordinator.
Rehab buddies, bro. That's what I think we're looking at, is rehab buddies. They're going to hang out. They're going to get healthy together.
I've seen this movie before, by the way.
If not, they should make that movie. If not, they should make it. Oh, you're right. No, that is the Chicago Bears guy with Gale Sayers. Joe Capoletti. I like the Joe Capoletti story or whatever.
And which, keep in mind, the Chiefs has been struggling with wide receiver position since Tyreek Hill's left. So him coming back, if it happens, this could be a solution. Of course, this is not the same Tyreek Hill from 4 years ago, Brett. So we'll see what happens. Dolphins also let go of Bradley Chubb, who actually turned 30 in June. It's June. Has 2 more years remaining on contract and carried cap hits north of $31.2 million in both 2026 and 27. A immediate release will save Miami's $7 million.
Yeah.
So Chubb, who traded for Chubb back in 22 season from the Broncos.
Denver, they traded from Denver. Denver had drafted him, and they traded Denver to bring him over. They actually gave up a number one
for
Bradley Chubb.
And running back Chase Edmonds, if you remember him.
Correct. Yeah, my man. Nice.
I get that written down, so I didn't get that.
Yeah. you should have said that, man. I was giving you like mad props on that. That was impressive. So another guy that he had a bad injury, an ACL injury in the year before. But also will not have trouble finding work. Let's just put it this way.
He's a great player.
He's a good player. He has the ability. He's still young enough. He can, but he's never taken that leap, whether it was at Denver, whether it was at Miami. He's never taken that next step. Even Phillips was more productive than Chubb was on the other end for the 2 years that they played together.
Incredible.
But he will play. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like anybody who needs, and from a team like the Cowboys who need defensive end, edge rusher. You know, I don't know. I heard that we're kind of going to be running a 3-4 scheme. So I don't know, like, you know, really what, but I'd love to have him. Please bring him over. See, you know, bring him over to Dallas. I'm good with it.
How about the New York Jets? Needs linebacker help.
They do need this. The New York Jets need all the help they can get. I'm glad they're keeping Aaron Glenn. They're going to bring in some coordinators that I think will. I don't want to give up on them. I like Aaron Glenn as
Frank
a player.
Reich is coming back.
That's right. Frank Reich, they brought in as the offensive coordinator. That's right.
A lot of experience. You saw
Frank Reich in the Music City Miracle, okay, you know, then you know what Frank Reich can bring to the table.
Anthony agrees. Cheetah will be back in Kansas City. It feels like the most likely move. I mean, I can see a Bill snatching up with him, but I don't know. Kansas City would be
a beautiful landing spot for him. I mean, if you think about it, like, you do have some underneath pieces. Now you bring in the guy that can take off the top of that defense. Obviously, you know, Kenyon, you know, is I don't know, highly talked about that, why they made that pick or whatever. He would be a great fit there, but I definitely think KC will be a serious, serious spot as a landing spot just because familiarity, you know, Coach Reed and coming back with Mahomes that he always got along with.
Pretty much. Let's stick with the NFL. Derek Carr says he could unretire, but he'll go back to a team that is a Super Bowl contender. A little bit too picky there, Brett, but your thoughts? He had a bad shoulder a couple years ago. Had surgery, couldn't really get back to 100%, but looks like he's ready, but only goes back to a Super Bowl team. Your thoughts?
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you this. No, it's definitely not too much for Derek Carr to think he can, as a number two. I don't think, what does he mean? He's gonna come in as a number one and start? Hey, come on, stop. As utter buffoonery, tomfoolery, whatever you want to call it. It's utterly ridiculous, okay, for Carr to be acting like he brings to the table in whether it's
cold,
whether it's wins. No, I'd like him as a number two, like, to be honest with you. Stop being picky. If you want to play on a team this year, other than maybe the Cardinals or one of these other teams that they're having such a dismal time at quarterback, the four or five teams we know that he could – they're not going to the Super Bowl. They have you. They would bring you in because they have no serious thought of going to the Super Bowl unless you're my number two. Like, I have no problem with Derek Carr being my number two coming in when my boy pulling Earl Morrill coming off the bench, like playing some great stuff until Greasy came back. I would love it. I have no problem with that. But for him to think he's going to get that type of treatment, that not only do I want to go to a team, but if I play, I want to – no, like, please. That's like Kirk Cousins, like, saying the exact same thing. That's, like, literally the same person.
But like, I'll pick Cousins over here.
I don't have no answers here. But so that's ridiculous. I mean, utterly ridiculous.
Quite something. Mr. Byron Jones from the Jersey Boy Sports Talk thinks Tyreek Hill will be staying in Florida, like the Jaguars or the Bucks, for tax state tax-free purposes.
Well, I didn't know. Is there state taxing in Missouri?
I have not heard. But I know there Tennessee, Texas, and Florida are the three.
Look that up.
I'll look that up later. I don't have time now, but I know Florida, Texas, and Tennessee are the top three with no state income tax. Nevada, I think, might be that from number
Byron's four. The man, though, too. You know what I'm saying? Maybe Byron. I've spoken with Byron. I've been on the show with Byron a couple times. He may know something even we don't know. So you got to take that into consideration.
He has the inside. So let's see what happens. All right. Franchise tag begins tomorrow, Brett. Top candidates coming in. Your Cowboys, George Pickens. The Colts, Daniel Jones. Falcons, side end, Kyle Pitts. Bengals, Trey Henderson. Seahawks, Kenneth Walker, who won the Super Bowl MVP. And the Ravens, Tyler Linderbaum. Very expensive. Which of these players should be tagged?
All of them. I mean, which of them? Every single one you named, if it will, with 90% certainty, be. I mean, Kyle Pitts showed out at the end of the season. I don't think they would have thought of throwing the franchise tag on him until week 8 and on. he shined. You know what I'm saying? He really, really did well. He started coming into his own. Had some huge games late in the season. Trey Hendrickson, you know, is the only thing you have going on Bengals defense. Yeah, so he doesn't. Daniel Jones, it's smart, obviously, with them, you know, getting the injury, but, you know, Achilles he tendon. Showed what he can do with this Colts team. Obviously, George Pickens is going to be franchise tagged by the Dallas Cowboys 100%.
Jerry Jones likes him.
But the thing is, it's will he – Diamond, will he – will he stay calm? He has the same – remember, he has the same agent as Micah Parsons.
Yes, tell us a little bit more about that. Why is that significant? Yeah,
So Jerry Jones is still under the illusion. Everybody knows I die for the Cowboys, but my man is under the illusion that everybody will sit and wait on his time. He did it with Michael Irvin's rookie contract and made Michael Irvin wait until the season that year, and he's done it with every salary that he's dealt with since. And because of that,
every big literally star. Pay
max contracts, but again, the guys that he signs for $44 million, if he would have jumped ahead and done it like a savvy businessman, he would have signed him at $33 million at the beginning of that, but then four other people sign and then he now we're paying max contracts. So look, what you do with your franchise tag, like what you do with these aspects of it are a huge part of this game. Because of that waiting for a contract, some people just don't want to hear it. They want to take off other offers, and Michael Parsons did that. And Michael Parsons, I was even – the more I hear about it, might even have went to Philly, like with what was – like I'm hearing now. But he wanted to play with Jalen Carter. And so you can't do that. You can't think in today's day and age everybody is going to negotiate on your terms and at your time frame. That's just not the way it is. And it costs the team tens of millions of dollars against the cap every year. But in addition, people think that they're disrespected. You're dealing with superstars. You're dealing with the greatest athletes in the world, obviously.
Big egos.
You know, NBA, you know. So, right. So, you're trying to tell these guys who have been catered to and in white glove their entire lives, whether it's in college or as the pros or even, you know, going into college, now that you're trying to keep them in, you know, not let them earn what they're worth and not negotiate on their time frame. And like, look at people like Antonio Brown, like the times they're like freaking out on it happens. Why would you leave any more time? Why wouldn't you in good faith negotiate? But it's a poor negotiation tactic to try to do it, to try to go in and think everybody's going to negotiate on your terms. And it hurts the Cowboys, but
handshake deals at the dinner table. You can't do that.
Correct. Correct. People and they just want to, they don't want to feel that they're being pushed off. And the NBA, the ego of the NFL player cannot handle that. And if a laid back guy like Micah can't handle it, I worry in the future. I just think he's got to change. And again, Jerry, man, don't sanction me. And I know you, but
he's
his negotiation skills are not what he thinks. He's like Trump a little bit, where he thinks way more of himself than he is. Does that mean he isn't great and doesn't do some really good things? No. But he needs help in certain areas and should accept that. But
get his son to negotiate these contracts.
I don't know enough. I haven't seen enough. I mean, I've seen him press flesh and I've seen him, you know, kind of step in and be a little bit more of the figurehead to say things. I don't know if in the end, if he went to his father and said, no, I think it should be done this way. I still don't think that end conversation is going to end the way he thinks or he wants it to end. Jerry Jones is going to, you know, do what he wants until he's ready to hang up the torch, which who knows when that'll be.
How significant is having the same agent as Michael Parsons, who went through this stuff? I mean, they're not in good terms, I've heard.
Well, I mean, if you act with it, just like you and me, it would depend on the relationship and the character of each individual agent. You know, Pops, they kind of big shout about character. It just depends on the individual. It doesn't bode well that the same agent that just tore your heart from the team, literally tore the heart from the team, to now say, oh, now we're going to have to negotiate with him again. And, you know, hopefully him and at least George can speak a little bit to at least, you know, get on the same page, because I do know they do have a good relationship. I know they do like each other. So I hope that, again, and that was the case with Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin really liked, obviously, Jimmy Johnson, but Jerry Jones, like at that time, he would, you know, talk him up. So, you know, sometimes those big egos also cater to those big egos, and they feel like they're above the agent, and they can talk, and then the agent will work out the numbers in the end. And sometimes some are just going to be listening completely to what their agent says, and that'll differ with each individual player and with each individual agent.
There you have it. Like Jerry Jones says to Jerry Jones, anyone could coach this team.
Yeah, yeah. He did. He brought in Barry Switzer, and he did it. He did coach the team.
Trade rumors as well going on. It's going to start until, I believe, March. Top candidates look at Max Crosby from the Raiders, A.J. Brown from the Eagles, Kyler Murray for sure. Tua, definitely. I heard he's going to be a trade candidate. Anthony Richardson and Derek Carr, because Derek Carr is still owned under the Saints. He's still under contract, Brett.
Well, I want to kind of touch on something. One thing that nobody has been talking about, and I believe over the next couple of months, you're going to see a little bit more talk. If not, then something is definitely going on in the NFL. A few years ago, the Dolphins got in a lot of trouble for tanking games and to where they actually pulled draft picks from the team. We now know Max Crosby left the stadium and left the facility because they were trying to IR him, and he didn't want to be IR'd. And that's literally what the whole rule is about with tanking. So how is anybody not looking at that when you just – sorry for the Dolphins, but too bad. Everybody cheats, but how is nobody talking about the fact there was major tampering charges and major sanctions put on the franchise because of tanking games, because of that exact thing, tanking for a draft pick? And you have multiple teams. Like, they're not the only one. I know the Bengals did it. Like, a couple teams did it. And I'm sure almost every team wanted to do it or did it in some way, shape, or form. But how is that this not under the – is this a new Tuck rule? I don't understand. Are we making up rules now and just throwing this into – to saying there's no such thing as the Tuck rule? There's no such thing as these rules, but somehow enforced highly. They had a first-round pick taken from that year, like, in offense. So, like, that's not nothing. But getting to the drafts, I mean, to the trades, A.J. Brown's got to go. He's just a diva.
Annoyance, a nuisance. Yards.
He becomes an Antonio Brown. He becomes far more destructive in the locker room and with team morale and team direction and team culture, then, you know, he's got to go. Like, everybody in Philly I know wants him to go. Everybody wants him to go. Kyler Murray, I have more upside with him going to a new franchise than somewhere else. He's still elusive. He's still got an arm. He's just even clean under Kingsbury. He never really matured into what they thought. You know, I thought when they with McBride and now, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., that maybe they would have the pieces around him. Right. But out of any of them, Kyler Murray, you know, is one that has the most potential. Derek Carr, again, that stuff's a joke. Anthony Richardson, a good quarterback, played a little bit as a rookie, but then lost the job to Daniel Jones. And obviously he's your number two. Tua, got it. I mean, the dude can't take a hit. Like, the guy cannot take a hit. You can't bring him onto your franchise knowing that he's literally – obviously, every quarterback is one hit away from not playing the game anymore, but he's one weak hit away from never playing.
Huge liability there. Fano Anthony says, I don't think Pittsburgh Steelers ever tanked.
Let me guess. He's got to be a Steelers fan.
He's a Jets fan,
let me guess. I mean, there's a lot of teams that I don't think have ever tanked. You know what I'm saying? The ones that seem like – I'd like to think Dallas never tanked, but, you know, we obviously didn't go to the playoffs for a lot of those years either. But obviously you never know what goes on. But if you're 7-9, the chances of you tanking, like, are a lot less than, you know, when you're 4-10. Like, then you start tanking games because then you're looking at the number one or number two pick. But he might be correct, man. Again, maybe he knows something I don't. Maybe – Pittsburgh has that much integrity, and they've never tanked the game before.
Yeah, quite something. Well, there you have it. A lot going on with free agency this upcoming spring. Let's go to the NBA All-Star Weekend. Let's go to the actual game. A budding U.S. star squad defeated the veteran USA Stripes 45-21 in a one-sided All-American finale to win the 2026 NBA All-Star and Best Video Game Consoles. Anthony Edwards scored 8 points on 3 of 5 shooting as USA stars snatched a 26-9 advantage by the midway mark of the 12th-minute contest. Tyrese Maxey chipped in with 9 points for the U.S. Stars. I watched the All-Star game. They had the Internationals first, Brett, versus the Rising Stars. Internationals kind of didn't win none of the games, but the USA Rising Stars did. And the Stripes, with LeBron and Kawhi could not handle it.
Right. So hold on officially. Wait. I had to pivot. That's my pivot. I'm pivoting from the NFL finally
to the NBA.
Right in. Still got a strong pivot though. Pivot right into basketball. I watched parts of it. It was difficult. I'm going to be honest with you to watch at times just because it's entertaining, but it's not that entertaining. I like the fact that it was a good day for the Sixer fans, like Maxey. And then I know the rookie VJ Edgecombe.
Yes,
looked really, really good in the rookie game. But obviously Wembanyama, and Anthony Edwards were the most impressive things coming out of that game, and they should be. We've got to give props to the Knicks shooting team, right, with Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. I believe they won the actual shooting contest. But I gotta make a statement again, a bold statement. All right, there's two things in this world that are a shell of what they used to be in this world, and one of them is Halloween. Like Halloween used to be like the rowdiness growing up in South Florida and what we used to do on Halloween. Like that's done. Like it's so sanitized. It's really so. Halloween is pathetic. It's a shadow of what it used to be. And the NBA dunk competition is like a shadow of what it used to be. It was boring. I mean, like, watch 86. For all anyone saying that, like, is only in the 2000s, the millennials, the wise, whatever. Look at 86 Spud Webb. Check that out sometime. Spud Webb slam dunk competition 86. Look at Dominique Wilkins, 87. Jordan, 88. Even into Vince Carter. Like, these were, like, dunk competitions. Now it just was like it turned into like a dance party. You know, they had a little bit of, you know, moving and shaking going on, but come on, it is a shadow. I almost feel like they should like almost maybe do away with it and be like, yeah, oh my god, that was such a dominating windmill dunk. Watch
Dominique. That was a game winner.
Please, that's nothing. It was just a sad state of affairs. The NBA. The rest of what they did, mixing it up, obviously you're trying to do something U.S. against the world. I don't think they still have it figured out with like the Stars, the Stripes, and the world. It's still
– Luka didn't play. I think that was a big missing part.
I mean, right. Well, they thought that they would bring, you know, more drive and desire to actually participate and win the game there. And that's what they're still looking for because, you know, it's not like – You know, it's not like Major League Baseball
has the best all-star because like, whoever wins has home field advantage for the World Series.
Correct.
So there's an incentive.
And their new updated home run hitting, like that new the way they do that. But I don't want to get you off the topic. You know, I'm good at that. That is by far, like when you talk about that, they still have some dialing in to do, man, because I don't think anybody was overly impressed. There were good things to take away from it. Like some there were some cool things. But when you talk about like the lore of like the NBA All-Star slam dunk competition, NBA All-Star 3-point shooting competition, the stars you could name away with Bird walking away as he throws up that last one and just walks away, like it's a little weird.
Anthony Fangio said on his comment from Facebook, man, one of the best All-Star games I've ever seen. I love that they split up into 12-minute quarters. The world team came out to play. It was a good game all around. What All-Star game. Yeah, the world Tish showed up, but it feels like they liked that spice, I guess. Anthony says, I wasn't going to watch the game, but when it turned it on, I watched LeBron James. All these guys were going out there. We're going at it. I play basketball. I can tell you that they were playing all out there. Kudos to the NBA for getting it right.
That's what they're looking for. Like that is okay. So I don't drink the Kool-Aid. Like I didn't buy it. Like there's certain aspects, like he says, like the 12 and a quarter is the like playing more than the one game, the pickup aspect of it all. Like that was really cool. That part of it. But the 12 minutes, you know, it's like the playing the 12 or playing the 13, like the parts of that, very cool. I just didn't do it for me. Didn't do it. But don't get me wrong, like the All-Star game has never been like, other than like those 1 years where like Magic Johnson played that 1 year and like where somebody comes out and throws up ridiculous numbers, it's always been just for fun. Like the new format, that might be the ticket. That might be it.
You know who started right that was the NHL. Go,
baby, right? Who knows? Like, you know, people paid a hell of a lot more and a lot smarter than me are the ones that are trying to figure out a product, a billion-dollar product to put in front of you. But look, maybe this is the new format. Maybe, you know, they can do that. It didn't look like the old guys had a chance in the end. Like, I really wanted them to. Like,
gassed out.
Yeah, I kind of wanted it, but they got smacked. In that final game, it was like 40-21 or something like that. They got beat pretty bad.
And I would say one of the rewards, I think, like the best trophy is to win the All Star MVP, which was Anthony Edwards for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he was the All Star Game MVP because Kobe has won it, MJ, and all these other guys. So that's a big one. LeBron James says he's unclear on retirement. He's not sure what's going to happen. I think he needs to retire.
Please, I said it last year, you're going to retire. At this point, it's painful. Like, it's painful. You can't, you know, I understand you don't want your legacy to die. You don't want to stop playing. Like, but it's there. You hold the records. Cool. You got the scoring record. You got this record. You got that record. Then, you know, tone it down. Nobody's going to tell him what to do. He's a grown man, and he's you know, one of the best basketball players, top 10 of all time. But just hang it up.
Definitely. So we'll see what happens with Mr. LeBron, who did win a championship this weekend. Was Michael Jordan won a NASCAR Daytona 500 with the team that he's owned, and he said he felt like winning in another championship. Brett,
you know what? This is Santiago. That's why you're the man. I had no idea. I knew nothing of what you're talking about right now. Does he jump up and do the backflip off the car?
Hold on. No, he didn't. He owns the NASCAR team with Tyler Reddick as the driver.
That's freaking awesome. No, that's the Daytona 500. That's
the Mac Daddy of it all for NASCAR.
Yeah, man. I've been to one of those. Those things are craziness. Congratulations, MJ. I love the fact he's diversified. I mean, obviously he's holds in basketball, but to own other teams and to go, he pulled a Gibbs, he pulled the old football coach, Gibbs that just left football, just said, you know what, I'm gonna start a NASCAR team, and those aren't cheap, but
cheap, man.
Luckily Jordan's a billionaire, so he can afford to do that.
Congrats on Jordan, he won it on NBA All Star Weekend, quite interesting. Well, there you have it. NFL free agency begins. The tagging, the trades, what's going to happen, the cleanup. Brett, anything else before we head out, and what's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, so corporate's coming down on me. They're laying into me that I don't that people can't reach me, that I'm not lining everything up. So you will start seeing Sports Guy 369 across the board, as far as the way to contact me on X, Insta, Threads, or TikTok,
or whatnot,
or always reach me through. Yeah, well, you know, I love myself that whatnot. Yeah, that Invicta channel and whatnot. But and then through the Sportscast, please reach out. But I'll start. I'm gonna even jump into a YouTube channel, see maybe so I can do. If my friend Santiago will help me, I'm gonna try to start putting something together where I can post a little content every now and then myself. That'll be something coming over the next couple of weeks. But Sportsguy 369 across the board, or at Sportscast.
There you have it. NBA is gearing up. NFL is always geared up. The combine is coming up, so we'll see more Fernando Mendoza and the rest of the gang. Who needs quarterbacks? Wide receivers? It's up in the air. You can reach us.
March Madness is coming up.
Arizona Duke is looking good.
The best tournament in all of sports.
It is the best tournament. It's the most hyped.
It's March Madness.
You can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on Instagram and X. And we got a comment from your dad. Is it truly over for Tua? Brett, you can answer
say,
that.
So say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so. That's yes. In Miami, it will be the end of Tua. And I don't believe that any other team can. Obviously, he's not going to jump in as a starter unless you're looking at Arizona, one of these places that some weird things can happen. There's two or three spots around the NFL. But yeah, it's truly say it ain't so, Joe. It is over for Tua in the MIA.
There you have it. Thesportscast.net. Brett, always a pleasure. And this was your update.